an ever-changing world, Life Changes Productions presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths to a more fulfilled way of being, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a higher understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Ro Algas of Be Organic. And now your host, our MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Yes, I know it's December 27th, and yet I'm saying Merry Christmas. And as a matter of fact, I'm not in our usual studio today. I'm in Southern California, where the studio that I am using is near a park that is shooting off fireworks right now. So, and we can still hear them in the studio. And it sounds more like 4th of July than it does Christmas. But I am merry nonetheless. And though it's 2 days after Christmas, it's interesting how I've said Merry Christmas to a couple people and they say, it's past. And they almost say it to me with disdain, like, don't remind me. And I actually had a couple friends say to me, let's just say it, okay? The holidays suck. Suck. The holidays suck. That's what they said. Here, so much time, effort, energy, money is spent on these holidays to make people happy or to help people be happy or to or who knows what it's for, really. But anyway, one would hope that it's for happiness. And people are out there saying the holidays suck. And just like children, when we say Merry Christmas a day or two later, they're like, that was 2 days ago. You're so old news or something. The fireworks behind me are hysterical. And it's so appropriate. Because that's kind of my point, is what are these holidays? If we're not enjoying this, why are we doing it? Or better yet, why are we not enjoying it? And I you know me by now, I had to analyze it for a little bit. I'm thinking, there was a time not too long ago where I might have said, I don't know if I would have used those words, and I don't know that I ever did, but maybe, you know, I felt the same way. And I'm thinking that time was during the time when I used to believe in the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and the oughtas and supposed tos and have tos and need tos and I wish and all of that. And I started to think, okay, when we're thinking the holidays are coming up, it's Christmas, and we should get everybody a gift, or we should be nice to so-and-so at such and such a party, or we shouldn't feel this way about Aunt Emery or something, or we ought to be enjoying our family instead of hating a couple of them or all of them, or we ought to be enjoying this, or you're supposed to be having fun, or you were supposed to get invited to this party, or you didn't want to go to this party, or you have to cook this year because it's your turn, or I can't afford this, or I can't get to my daughter's house in time for Christmas, or I wish I wasn't alone for Christmas, or I wish my family would get along. I think you're getting the idea. And these shoulds, these shouldn'ts, these oughtas, supposed tos, have tos, need tos, I wishes. Of course the holidays suck to some of these people. And I'm thinking, okay, so then I took it someplace completely different. So I said, all right, what if we just got rid of all those? Might we just decide that today is a day that we can enjoy if we want to, not enjoy if we don't want to, share it with people if we can and not if we can't. And what is December 25th? You know, it's interesting. Theologians from all different kinds of religious faiths believe that Christ, the historical Jesus Christ, was, first of all, not really named Jesus. I don't know. That's what I'm hearing. But regardless, doesn't matter. Was not born on Christmas. He wasn't born on December 25th. He was born sometime in the spring, according to what the Bible says and about all these other things. And clues are there, whatever. He was born in the spring. So somebody picked this time of year, somebody before you and I, to make Christmas during this time. So now the pagans celebrated the sun god around December 21st, because that was the longest night of the year, the winter solstice. So, and like this December 21st, not only was it the longest night of the year, it also happened to be a moon eclipse, and it you know, all these things were going on, planets were aligning, whatever. But December 25th, no astrologers or astronomers or historians or pagans seem to agree on anything about it. I mean, they're just like, there's no, you know, it's kind of like arbitrary. Like the 21st is important, or the 22nd, depending on what day the longest day of the year falls, or the shortest day of the year, the longest night of the year. That's kind of important. That kind of has meaning throughout the whole universe, not just in our minds or in our churches or on our calendar. It has meaning throughout the whole universe. And then if we say, well, Christ was born, well, Christ actually was born in the spring, but we have Easter in the spring when he died. So we can't do it then, maybe. So let's do it on the 25th. Let's just pick a date. Let's just say Christ was born on the 25th. So now people are running around making themselves crazy, having to buy gifts by that date. And why buy? Okay, anyway, buy gifts by that date. And it has to be that date. No, you have to be there by Christmas Eve. We have to open the presents on the 24th, because on this arbitrary day, we're all doing this thing. And we're all making ourselves crazy. And we're just going to can't wait till it's over. So if grandma can't arrive on the 25th, but she could get time off work and be there the 23rd, we can't open gifts. It's not Christmas. Or if Johnny comes from, you know, Afghanistan on the 27th, you know, that just doesn't work, because Christmas was the 25th, 2 days ago. So, yeah, I understand. The holidays would suck if that's the way it has to be. So if somebody could pick an arbitrary day and say, that's the day we're supposed to be happy, and then somehow everybody kind of gets happy on that day, but not really, you know, some people are not. So if we could pick a day to be happy, we can pick any day to be happy. And if it's not the 25th, but the 26th or the 27th, or why not the 28th and 29th, and why not every day? But if that's too much to ask, if our family can get together the week after, let's make Christmas the week after. You know, it's not as crazy as one would think. So how about loving the holidays? How about enjoying the holidays, or postponing them, or doing them before, or whatever, but turning around and saying the holidays suck, that's putting negative energy on a special time for other people, arbitrary or not. And it's also making somebody's life miserable, the person themselves that's saying, like, you know, holidays suck. You know, they don't have to. Don't celebrate. don't do anything. Or decide to do something that makes you happy. But putting that suck energy on it, that sucks. And then telling me about it when I'm actually having a good time, that sucks more. So Merry Christmas, everybody. And I mean that. I mean that today. And I mean that every day, actually. Let's celebrate as much as we can. Because as I like to say, if you're alive and if you're doing what you like to be doing, especially if you like doing what you like to be doing, and you're with people that you enjoy being with, every day's your birthday. Every day can be Christmas. And give a gift any time of year. Don't wait for holidays. It doesn't have to be. Just don't, you know, let's not force the issue. Let's not make it suck. Let's just not. So we'll continue with a really great show and a really great guest right after this.
Hello, I've got...
Clean water is not enough.
I've got
reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. Ionway's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an Ionways ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today, Ionways Water Systems. Their water changes everything. To learn more about Ionways Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Also, you can visit us via Twitter and Facebook. And back to you, Filippo.
Thank you. Okay. Now that we got the holidays out of the way, let's get to some other interesting things. Our guest today is so interesting because she was a mystic, and she's a mystic turned organic certifier. Now, in her words, I like this. She says, "I used to think if I could train people to lucid dream and follow the lines or allow themselves to be penetrated by the divine, or simply to meditate and find inner peace, the world could be transformed. Now I certify organics and preach personal permaculture. It's the tangible path to owning our place in the world, and the world in turn is transformed." I love that. She is a founding partner in a Bee Organic Certification Agency, and a Bee Organic is the newest USDA certification agency in the U.S., A Bee Organic is a next generation, quote unquote, organic certification agency. The intent was to create an organic certification agency from the ground up and to integrate the founders' bioethics of personal permaculture and sustainable business practices with the standards set by the National Organic Program. So with that, I am happy to introduce to you all and get to speak with Ro Elgus. Ro, welcome to the show.
Hi, Filippo. Can you hear me?
Now we can. Yes, we were having some trouble during the monologue. Hopefully the audience couldn't hear that, but all kinds of things were coming through. But we got you finally, and so let's talk.
Well, thanks for having me.
Organic. Now, I know with you, all I have to do is say the word, and we could talk for 3 hours. Or you can at least, but let's see if we could slice this up a bit, because people think, organic is just a big topic. But let me start with this: people think organic is kind of like natural, and that is so not the case, right?
Yes, the word organic is actually regulated, and it annoys some people, but because it's regulated, it actually has meaning, and it's verified, and the people who use that seal, it means a lot. They've had to go through a lot to get it, and it verifies a certain level of quality and certain place things in the production that make it organic, whereas the word natural actually has no verification. It has no meaning. It could contain GMOs, genetically modified material, or sewage sludge, or all kinds of things, and it's...
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of scary.
Wow. I mean, okay, so, you know, sewage sludge technically is natural, but we don't want that in our food.
No. And even the home gardener, Filippo, needs to know that there's things that are, like, sold at Home Depot, and it says natural compost and earth. What there's one that's Earthwise Organics natural compost. It's made of sewage sludge. you know? Oh, and wow. So even the home gardener who's trying to do the best in growing their own organic stuff, it's hard to make your way through what's what.
And now, you know, I'm not a gardener, but you know, I wasn't going to get into this, but technically manure is used for fertilizer, right? So is
yes.
that kind of different?
It is different, and it has to be composted in a very specific manner or applied a certain amount of days before pick. It's fairly regulated. The difference between the manures and the sewage sludge also contains anything that runs into a gutter. So there's, you know, or... It can be heavy chemicals that go into our sewage sludge.
Wow, so people pouring their car oil down the drains and, I mean, but all
even,
that stuff...
Even household cleaning products can be pretty caustic, and those all go down the drain.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, okay. Basically, you know, I love this about you. You say that one of these days you hope to put yourself out of business in the sense that you're an organic certifier and you'd like for the whole world to be organic and then, you know, then you'd be on to something else. Maybe you'll be back to being a mystic. But so I love that about you. And yet in the same way, it's kind of like, okay, so what's the big deal? Like my grandmother would say, what's the big deal about organic foods? That's how it's just how God created it. It's just, that's natural. But you're not saying that kind of natural. You're saying that today, see, it's confusing, right?
Right. The thing is right now, what organic food means, besides what a person goes through to get it and the level of accountability, record keeping, and all the different things they go through. Organic means that it's not genetically modified. And one of the things with the genetically modified stuff, it was a big promise. Like we all think, oh, because it produces more and it's feeding the world. But a lot of the stuff was just modified, like Monsanto's soybeans and stuff. They're just modified to be able to take pesticides and herbicides and Roundup. They take and they spray like Roundup Ready corn or Roundup Ready soybeans. They actually just spray it. The soybean and the corn won't die. And so they need to kill the weeds. So they spray it right on the food. But even in the soil, it lasts for a couple of years and it's pretty toxic. And so it kills the soil. It kills the microbials in the soil and it stays in your food. And the EPA's never tested it. They just say that it's safe for the, I don't know what they do, but it hasn't been tested as safe to eat, and it isn't.
Wow. You know?
And so GMO, organic food doesn't have GMOs. It doesn't have, hasn't been raised with sewage sludge. It doesn't have irradiated food, you know, and I don't know, it just is a lot. I mean, every time people spray pesticides, like when they were spraying in my mom's grove, every living thing in that grove would die. And that means every bee, you know, the bee colony collapse that's going on right now. One of the things in Europe, I mean, they've pretty much banned a certain line of pesticide because they really believe that it contributes. Here, they're in denial and they say it doesn't happen, but that the bee's immune system is compromised. But that particular pesticide compromises the bug's immune system. So it's kind of a question, you know, it's like, I mean, the reason I want to put myself out of business is because I honestly believe as a populace, if we don't get sustainable, we're not going to be here. And we can grow food in a way that is in an integrated system where we can continue to grow it generation after generation, you know, and not pollute the rivers and not kill the birds and the fish and the, you know, whatnot, and ourselves.
Yeah, and the interesting about all this is that sounds nice, but it's beyond that. It's what you're saying is that if we don't go there, we won't be here. And that's an interesting thing. But because it's so confusing, I just want to make this clear because I've actually had people ask me this question. So as, let's say, before man came along, natural means that you plant a seed that naturally comes off of another tree that has fruit or whatever that has seeds, and then you plant that, and it naturally grows in the natural dirt and all that. And now we're calling that natural process organic because organic actually has a law around that word. unfortunately, natural has no law around that word. So basically, anybody could say it's not, it's natural.
Right, right.
And you were saying that there was a time when people actually thought natural was better than organic.
Yeah, they did. The Organic Trade Association was doing, you know, for marketing, they're about trade. And so they did different, you know, consumer opinions. And because there's been so much pressure on the organic industry from within and from without, as far as bad press, and it confuses the consumer. And as the consumer gets confused, they actually last year said they liked, they felt more trust in natural than organic. And that's just
consumers.
Consumers. And literally the natural means, you know, I was at the organic trade show and this guy, my husband's a vegetarian and he was showing me this stuff and it was a soy product and it was delicious. And I said, you know, non-GMO. And he goes, oh, that's just too hard. It's just too expensive. It's just too this and that. And I was like, well, come back next time. You know, I'm not, I can't feed it to my husband, you know.
Okay. So now, natural means nothing anymore. It can be used in any way. What about organic? There are laws around it, but people, you just said that there's a company that uses the word organics, but they had sewage sludge in there.
Well, that's a tricky deal because the NOP does not, the National Organic Program, or NOP, when it comes to, see, like organic chemistry, you'll hear this all the time. Organic chemistry, you know that periodic table we had as kids in class? That's organic chemistry, and every one of those elements is organic. And so they can use that word in that manner. So as soon as you get into what is called materials used or add, you know, whatever they're adding to the soil, there's a lot that aren't allowed in organics, and those are mostly the very chemical ones or something like, of course, uranium. You wouldn't want that on your food, you know, and that's an organic element, but you can't put it on your food. So in the organic, basically the NOP doesn't monitor that realm. So I'll go and I'll see Miracle-Gro in the store and it says with organic ingredients and it's right there at the checkout stand. It's so seductive. It's so easy. And then people grab it and they go use it on their yard and they're like, yeah, it's all organic. And the problem is like, and they may not use pesticides and they think they're doing the right thing. And the thing is, when you come into the organic industry, it's a 3-year wait on the land before that no prohibited material has been applied for 3 years. And I used to think that was about getting the pesticides out of everything, and it isn't. What it is about is when you use these chemicals on the soil, it burns it. And the way soil works is the microbials, the little guys inside, that it's like there's more in a scoop of shovel of that than there are people in the world in healthy soil. There's all these little guys in there, and they have jobs to do. And they move food around, and like in a forest, the really tall tree that can make all the sugars and stuff, it sends it down to the roots and the microbial send it off to the little short tree that doesn't get the kind of sunshine and doesn't, they share, they move things around, they break down elements in the soil and they allow it to get taken up into the tree. Well, in what they're calling conventional, and now I've seen they're trying to shift it over in traditional agriculture, and it's not traditional agriculture. What your grandmother talked about as far as putting the seed in the ground and letting it grow, that is traditional agriculture. But when they just pour the chemicals on, it burns the soil and it kills all the microbials. And it takes 3 years to get active soil back that'll actually feed the plant properly.
Wow. Wow. Well, okay. So when it comes to soil, it sounds like there can be organic material in the soil, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the soil is organic in the sense of the word, like it's healthy for us. So it that's what it means in that regard. When it comes to food, you're giving good news saying if you're buying organic still today and hopefully forever, that when it says that something is actually organic and certified so, that's a really, really good thing, right?
Yes, it is. It's good for the environment. It's good for, I mean, our kids, because they're finding more and more of the chemicals and the pesticides are triggering a lot of the ADD, the different stuff that we're running into. And again, bee colony collapse. I mean, there's so many things for every, the reason we named our company a Bee Organic is because the only way the bee gets to be organic is if we are. If we spray pesticides on every inch of this planet, where do the bees and the birds and where does everything live?
Didn't think of it that way. So, all right. You mentioned something about an egg, for example. You were trying, it was great. You were trying to give me an example of how, what a big difference it makes if an egg is organic or an egg is not organic. So,
okay. First of all, to become organic, and what the role of the certifier I'll go into a little bit, is that anybody who wants to be organic, and we'll start out with a grower, they have to come up with an organic systems plan. And the plan has to meet the NOP, or the National Organic Standards, but the NOP isn't going to tell them, like, they won't tell you how to grow something organic. They're not going to tell you how to make your organic jelly, but you have to tell them within their format the, how you're going to make it. And so it makes each organic systems plan very unique. There's no one size fits all. And so the job of the certifier is to look at this organic systems plan, make sure it's complete, look for the places where maybe the farmer or the producer didn't realize there could be points of contamination or breakdown. So they got to get through this whole thing. And then they have to have records, and then they have to verify everything. And it has to be easily understood and monitored. So we have to be able to go in and see that, you know, they bought enough of this or that. So you take an organic egg and it's like, oh my God, those are, you know, like 50 cents or a dollar more, you know. I pay, I think, a dollar more at Trader Joe's. And so you go in and it's like, I don't know if I want to pay that. Well, okay, the seeds that planted the corn that went into the grain for the feed for the chicken, those seeds had to be certified organic.
Oh, wow.
And they had to go through that process. And then, obviously, the grain was certified organic. Well, the mill that handles it, because now they're touching it and there's points of contamination, they have to be certified organic. They have to have their organic systems plan. They have to go through the whole deal. And every year, they have to go through inspections. They have to update their plan with any changes as they go along. And they have to have stellar records so that as much is coming in as going out. The little pullets that are, it's a, before you get a chicken that lays an egg, after it hatches, it's called a pullet. And there's whole farms that raise pullets from 2 days of the time that egg has hatched. It has to be under organic treatment or handling. So the pullet farm has to be certified organic. And then you get the egg farm certified organic, and then you get the processor that washes the egg. Because actually egg washes are quite toxic, and the egg membrane on the shell is very permeable. So when they put it in something that's pretty harsh, that actually goes into the egg. Whereas an organic egg, none of that. That does not, I mean, they get washed, but they can't wash it with the same egg wash as they would a conventional egg. And they have to clean, like, they have to clean down the whole plant. So a lot of times they'll run all the organic stuff first thing in the morning. There has to be a cleaning. They have to test for any kind of residue, for any kind of cleaning aids. They have to have records of every time an organic run was done. And all that stuff is done. So, I mean, it's like, it's miraculous. These eggs aren't, you know, like $25 each.
Well, I was about to say that that process is costly. And it's obviously sounds like it's worth paying for. Ro, you're giving us some valuable information here. And when we come back, we're gonna talk more about exactly what we could do for the world, for ourselves, for our health, for our food, and what's being done and all that good stuff. So stay with us. We're talking to Ro Elgus.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio, and tonight's special guest, Ro Elgas of Be Organic. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at our website at www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo, and via Twitter, and very soon our Life Changes Network community, where real people will come together to share real life in real time. And now back to our show.
I love that commercial. That's Shadow Stevens' voice, actually, that's saying. He's so sarcastic. It's hysterical. On next month on Fiji, and audio-visual physical experience. I wasn't even trying to imitate his voice, but I should try. Audio-visual. Anyway, it's so much fun. Thank you, Shadow, if you're out there listening, for that commercial for Dorothy Donahue. So we've been talking to Ro Elgas, who is an organic certifier and co-founder of A Be Organic. And last we were talking about eggs. Eggs are semi-permeable. That's really interesting. Who ever thinks of how eggs have been washed? And so, Ro, you were telling us that chemicals get into our eggs, actually way back to the corn. And that's assuming they even ate corn, right?
I've had chickens and I fed them corn, so I don't know.
You're talking organics, but the ones that are not organic are fed all kinds of stuff, right?
Yes, but I don't know what they're fed, so I don't want to
Right, because you're on the organic side, and that's where we want you.
Right. I mean, I'm not informed on that. I am informed on what, like, the places that I have to look that I know the contamination happens. But as far as what other chickens are fed, probably a lot more antibiotics. And I don't know if they do the growth hormones. They do it with the cows, which is really bad. But I don't know what they do with chickens, really.
Yeah, we don't have to get in there. Actually, it's perfect if we stick with organic eggs. And the thing is that, tell me if I'm right about this, if more people bought organic eggs, for example, since we're talking about eggs, then maybe the price will go down because more farmers will want to be organic, or more farmers. What are they, ranchers? More ranchers will want to be organic? I mean, they're not ranchers. Ranchers are for cows and horses. Where are the chicken farms, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they call them, they're growers. I don't know.
Growers. Well, okay.
Growers, producers. How about that? Chicken producers. Egg producers.
I like ranchers. Okay. Rope them in. Send out the dogs and get those chickens in. All right. So, what do we do? Okay. So, look for organic anywhere we can, right?
Yes.
And hopefully we can afford it.
Yeah. And I understand cost. I mean, I make the same decisions as everybody else, but certain places are doing a better job of making organics affordable. And by shopping there, you'll see that, you know, again, I guess I shouldn't go through lists, but look for it. A lot of the big chains and the big box stores even are having whole organic lines. I mean, right down to your Walmarts have organics. And a lot of times it's just a few pennies different. And again, for what you're getting in value and what you're getting for preservation of the planet and, you know, family health, it's a big deal.
Now, is that a good thing that the big chains are going organic?
You know, people get scared about, you know, there was a thing on LinkedIn, a comment on one of the organic sites, and they were saying, which is greener, one big mega farm or, you know, 1,000 little farms? And I said, you know, my comment was, well, if the big farm is organic and the little farms are using Roundup and, you know, other stuff, well, you know, the answer might surprise you. And if we're going to take the whole planet organic and start growing things in a way that's integrated with our bodies and with the soil and with the other critters that we inhabit this planet with, it's all got to go organic. And so it's ridiculous to be talking like, you know, Walmart shouldn't have organic. Or if a big company produces, you know, even when they do, everybody's like, oh, the monocropping. Well, if you're monocropping a big thing of corn and organic, you're still required to do seed rotation. You're still required to do a cover crop, you know, and that allows the soil to replenish. The other guys who are just adding, you know, they're chemical farmers. They just add more chemicals and they do it all over again. And so even monocropped organic, which isn't really in the organic system, you know, I mean, it's hard for us. I don't know anybody who grows all their own corn and, you know, grinds it up and makes their own tortilla chips. You know, we're dependent on that. And yet, so, you know, if they're going to grow them in big fields, I just don't see how we can rule out the big. If it's done right, if the certifier is showing up and doing their job, it's still really high quality. The bees in the big, however many miles of, you know, crops aren't being sprayed with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, yeah, you're so behind the organics now. Now, did you just throw permaculture under the bus? Now, for those who don't know, I'm watching you. No, for those of you who don't know, monocropping is when, like, you're driving down the freeway and you just see rows and rows and rows, and they're all the same food, they're all the same product being grown, and that's just one product being grown altogether. Now, I happen to know that, Ro, you are into permaculture, and that is more different crops kind of growing cohabitatively, if that's a word.
In the best case scenario, if you think about permaculture, you know, if you go back to when there were hunter-gatherers, and, you know, like I live next to some Bureau of
some
Land Management.
No,
hunter-gatherers. But Bureau of Land Management. And like, you know, okay, there's some nuts and berries or something back there, you know. But it would take a lot of acreage to sustain myself and my family. And I would be thinner, but, you know, it would take a lot of acreage. So we actually, real permaculture is what's out there naturally. But for the amount of people on the planet, we have to put things together. We do have to have agriculture. We do have to grow in certain areas. So permaculture is about resource preservation, which is actually in the organic program. I mean, not everybody was following it initially, but everybody's being sort of pushed to step up. Every certifier is being pushed to step up their program and integrate the resource preservation. So the first thing is how much rain falls on that piece of land and how does it fall and how can we keep as much of it on so they'll actually sculpt the land to hold it. And then you're right, there's biosystems but even the big guys can have hedgerows where instead of, you know, like farming right up to the edge, let the weeds and the wilds and the bugs all go and even plant them, you know, to have all kinds of habitat for the beneficial bugs to live and to reproduce. So, and again, when you have, even in pest control, okay, in the organic program, some of this wasn't initially covered, but it's getting better. And that is that for your pest control, one of the things you're supposed to have is a pest hierarchy. Like, say I have a bug. I can't just go in and spray it with something that is on the list of okay things to spray on your field or whatever. I'm supposed to have a high... No, I'm supposed to have showed what I did to prevent it to begin with.
Wow.
So I had to choose a species that was not maybe, you know, that was more pest immune. I have to show that maybe I have the hedgerows and I planted them with beneficial habitat. And I have to show what I did, the different steps of pest hierarchy, how maybe I cleaned up where the bug that is attacking my thing, like how does that reproduce? Maybe I have to clean up something at the end of my growing season so it doesn't get a chance to reproduce. I have to show all those steps are in place before I put something on my organic systems plan that says, and then I spray it with this chemical, you know, which
wow. gets,
Yeah.
So even the approved spray, it has to be as a last resort. Wow, Ro, organics is cool.
It is cool. And there is some permaculture built into it. Was it all being applied? No, it's getting better right now. For the past 8 years, the administration that was in did not really care about organics, and they didn't give them any money to run their, the NOP, like they're supposed to be the ones educating us, getting us all on the same page if we're lagging. And they had no money. They had no staff, really. I mean, what they had was not good. And so the Obama administration, when they came in, they immediately got them some money, got them some staff. And with that, they're going around. And even as a certifier, I mean, they come in, they look at us, they talk to us. I mean, before they certified AB Organic, they flew a guy out from Washington to sit in our office and grill us, to see if we knew what we were doing. So all the things that were different certifiers that might have been lagging, they're all being asked to step up their programs. I mean, 10% have gone out of business since we applied. And that's so there were only 100 in the world. There's now like, there were like 103, and now there's like 93. So, but there'll be more, but they'll just be, have more gain.
Well, we're glad there's you. And we say organic is cool, and yet we've been wanting you on the show actually for a couple months now, and we've been booked and we finally got you in and you've been busy. But one of the things that besides being introduced to us by our friend Laura De Leon, who we're grateful for introducing you to us, we were kind of concerned about the laws being passed back in November that kind of made it sound like organics were going away and we couldn't grow our own food. And is all that true?
You're talking about the food safety law, and it did just pass, but it passed with the Tester Amendment, and the Tester Amendment exempts producers under $500,000 a year. There was a lot of the big producers kind of yelled and screamed, but it's a really good. We needed some more food safety there. It was a complicated bill. I was trying to follow it, and I had to rely sometimes on other people that I trust to read their reviews on it. And they said it was needed. It was necessary. But we also needed the Tester Amendment to allow the small producer to produce. And if you think about it, what it does is that it exempting the small producer, I just read a thing today, and it was so negative of, oh, we'll all die because these guys got exempt. But it's 1% that gets exempt of the growers. And that 1%, there are a million growers in that 1%. So you don't have the numbers to have like a huge national make everybody sick. I mean, if the guy at my farmer's market sells me something and I go home and I get sick, I'll have a little chat with him on Saturday. You know, I mean, we don't need the national government involved in that end of it. But these really huge guys, all they're asking is accountability. And actually, half of the stuff that they're doing as far as tracking and accountability, about 95% of it's already inorganic. I mean, because we already have to track everything. We're already looking at all this stuff. We're already looking at the points of contamination. You know, all that stuff's already written into the plans and monitored. So actually, the organic guys are all up to speed on this. I mean, there's a few little caveats that would have shifted had they had to go into this. But the amendment makes it work. And it all
so we're going to be okay.
Yeah, we are. A lot as of the scare about that was just, it's like we're such a polarized, Henny Penny sky is falling, anything with government is terrible. And you know what? It isn't. Because honestly, before there was organic, I can't tell you how many of the old timers we went into their programs and they said, they had organic all over their food. You know, in the 60s, we were buying all this stuff organic. And you go into their program and it was like the same thing. It's like, yeah, I'm good. I grow with, this, whatever, stuff that.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. And they didn't know and they weren't educated and it all felt right. And it wasn't.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, and now hopefully it is, and we'll go out and buy it and eat it and hopefully be better for it, as will the planet. Let's talk more about that when we come back after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes, life coaching, and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like to appear on your radio show or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host Filippo Voltaggio and tonight's special guest, Ro Elgis from Be Organic. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Find us also on Twitter and very soon our own Life Changes Network community, where real people will come together to share real life in real time. And now back to our show.
You know, Ro, we haven't given out your website. And if there are any farmers or growers or ranchers or hoofers or something out there that want to talk to you more about this stuff and enlist your services, they can go to Be Organic. And that's B as in B-E-E, A-B-E-E, organic.com. Ro, you and I have spoken for quite a while on several wonderful conversations. I just can't seem to get enough of the information, and I'm glad that we're sharing it with our audiences. Since we don't have two more hours, but two more minutes, is there anything you think we want to share before we go?
Mm.
Yeah, it's not easy, I know.
No, just that to really, I don't know, to be aware we're all a part of a system and there's no escaping it, you know, and to be aware of the choices we make every day. And it's not just organics. It's a lot of choices every day that will make us sustainable or not.
Yeah, we didn't get into it, but you're big on sustainable businesses, of course. And so, you know, just take a minute and just talk about some of that, how we can be sustaining ourselves is really what you're talking about, right?
Right. I mean, one of my passions, I blog on personal permaculture, and the tenets of permaculture, which are like if you're going to grow in the dirt and how you're going to make things work, it's about systems. It's about working together. It's about whole elements in a system. And it's amazing how those tenets you could apply to ourselves and what it does with our relation to community, with other, with we're no different. I mean, really, when you start to look at, I mean, one of the tenets is produce a yield and share surplus. And it's like, okay, that's capitalism with training wheels. You know, it's like, okay, get big, produce your yield. But it's about doing everything within the system so that the system gets stronger. You wouldn't do anything in permaculture where you took from one side and totally decimated it so that another could be really fabulous. You know, it would all, everybody would come up together. And it's about empowerment and working in groups and systems and community. And I don't know, there's a real intrigue with me with, I really believe it's the next evolution on the planet. I believe that we as a species, it's going to be as big as dinosaurs getting wings. I mean, we are going to have to get sustainable.
Wait, dinosaurs have wings?
Yeah, they did. Dinosaurs were birds, and then they got wings. Dinosaurs and lizards evolved into our birds.
Wow. That sounds like a whole other show. Boy, you know about dinosaurs and lizards and bears. Oh, my.
But we've got to get it. There's like a lot of people on the planet, and there's a way of doing this eloquently and not so ugly where there's trash piles the size of Texas in the middle of our Pacific Ocean and we're killing our bees, you know?
Yeah.
To get cheap corn chips, you know? Yeah. Pay the dollar extra and get the decent corn chips.
Yeah, you know, actually, I think about that sometimes. I do think that some things are too cheap. Like, I'll buy a shirt and people are like, oh, you know, it's only $3 or something. It's like, you know, something wrong when this is only $3. I mean, you know, or food, it's like it's on sale for, it's just something's wrong with that.
Well, Filippo, do you realize that conventional agriculture and corn and wheat are so heavily subsidized?
Right.
When people want bit smaller government, go organic. It's not subsidized.
Interesting.
Those guys are subsidized. We're getting artificially cheap food because your tax dollars pay these guys a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a whole other show there too. Ro, I'm telling you, your wealth of information, and I was about to let you go, but I know that Mark has a question, and if you wouldn't mind fielding it for us. Mark?
Hi, Ro. In fact, you started to touch on it at the end. Thank you so much for all the information today. I wanted to jump in here because I've had a growing abundance of knowledge, awareness, and frustration around corn sweetener. And high fructose corn sweetener, and just
it's everywhere.
It is absolutely everywhere, and it's amazing. But going back to some of the things that you touched on today in the creative void that is in between what is produced from a marketing standpoint, what is produced from a product standpoint, is that natural, all natural ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, or do you see any movement towards being able to? For us to be able to be either become more aware, or simply for the regulations to change, so the products like that don't slide under the all natural ingredients banner.
I think we just have to grow up, because you know there are products that say all natural that are really lovely, high quality, fabulous products. And I don't mean to slam them all. I just mean to say there is no verification and there is no definition.
Excellent. Yeah, good point. I think you're right. And as Filippo was saying, it's probably a whole nother show that we could explore this topic on.
Absolutely. Ro, I think we're going to know you for years, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Again, I want to remind everybody that we've been talking to Ro Algis, and she's an organic certifier, USDA certifier, in fact. And if you want to learn more about Ro, of course, you could always go to our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com or to her direct website, beorganic.com, A-B-E-E-organic.com. Ro, you have a beautiful Christmas.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Mark, you know, your question brought us all the way back from the beginning, almost full circle, because that's kind of where we started. All natural is there's evidently, according to Ro, nothing natural about all natural.
That was why I was pushing that back. And I think the most glaring example is high fructose corn sweetener. And, of course, obviously people are waking up, because when you start to see products marketed from the perspective of having no high fructose corn sweetener, then obviously somebody is rising up and willing to not buy the products that have it in there, because there must be a marketing opportunity or a sales opportunity in having it not in there. And I think that's the key to this. People forget and don't acknowledge their power as individuals and as individuals of a whole.
Yep.
If the economy moves away from something that has aspartame or high fructose corn syrup or MSG or any other product in it for that matter, they'll find a way to put something better in our bellies. But it's up to us to make those changes.
Yeah, and I like what she says. We just need to grow up. And what I got from that is that, you know, here she's standing up and saying, okay, I do this for a living and I know what is what, and I'm telling you. And then so thank God there's her, and that she's important, but she's not just doing this. She's out there also educating people, at least by coming on our show. And then we're important too, in case you didn't know, by putting this information out there. And so now we know. I didn't know that all natural means absolutely nothing, and I'll not read it ever again on anything. I mean, I'll just pretend I didn't see it. But
well, it's to that and another one. As long as we're you know, education, information is power, right? I'm not certain what the current status is, but I know that for a period of time, aspartame or artificial sweeteners were able to fall under the banner of spices.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of labels have a subcategory, without having to break them down, of spices. So the ones that aren't breaking down, you may be looking for the, whether or not it has that, and you may still be getting it or MSG or some other artificial, chemical, undigestible products under the category of spices. So the awareness that we're bringing in and that she's bringing in and that others are working so aggressively towards is very helpful.
Sorry, none of those are allowed in organics, just so they know. They can't stick them in.
Thank you for chiming in. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and that actually reminds me, now that you've said that, natural flavors, same thing. There's not necessarily anything natural about any of the natural flavors. Last I heard, it was like something like 1,500 different chemicals that are allowed in natural flavors that are not, well, you and I wouldn't consider them natural. So, and Rose, since you're still on, that's not considered organic either, right? Natural flavors?
No.
Okay, good.
I mean, sometimes some of them really are natural. We have to track and verify. In our business, they can't just say it. We have to track and verify.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mark, Rose seems to fit right in. What about we just have her every show? I love this.
Not right. Exactly. With that many categories and subcategories, we could be talking about this every day for a long time.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that she comes from a mystical background, so we could be talking about that too. I don't know if that she's still into talking about that, but there's so much. And I'm so glad that we had her on the show. I'm glad that we've added to it and added to the information that's out there. We plan on doing that, but all of you out there that are listening, if you have any questions for Ro or for us, or if you have information that you'd like for us to share with other listeners as we help each other change and grow here, by all means, let us know. And with that, not only do I thank Ro, but I thank all of you for listening. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure hosting Life Changes with Filippo this evening. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark M. Leger and Mark Greger, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, thank you for being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Merry Christmas, everybody. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. You can join us, join our family and friends on Facebook under Life Changes with Filippo. Remember, you can also keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website via Twitter and YouTube and very soon our upcoming Life Changes social media network. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Donahue. To learn more about them, you will find their links on the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.